Gospel according to John, chapter 1, I would like to read from the verse number 10 to the verse number 18. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bare witness of him, and cried, saying, This was he of whom I spake, He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. We read here that the Creator of the world came to the mankind, but the mankind was so corrupted by sin, so blinded by the lusts of the flesh. Sinners hate righteousness. They cannot stand godliness. They knew him not as God. They knew him not as the Son of God. But they knew him as a righteous, holy, a man that tells the truth. And they hated that. They couldn't stand that. Even his disciples that were impressed by his teaching, that were impressed by his miracles, that were fascinated by the power of God manifested in him, at times they could not stand his teachings. And many of his disciples turned away from him and returned back into their darkness. He did not appear in the heavenly bliss in shining, glittering raiment to the savages in a jungle or to the cannibals. No, he came to his own. He came to the people that knew the law, that heard the words of God since the beginning, to the people that knew what were the consequences of violating the word of God. What was the reward for killing the prophets and turning away from God, their Savior? And they knew him not, and they received him not, and they hated him and wanted to stone him many times. In the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 10, first 10 verses, we read about the Lord's choosing another 70 disciples and sending them to heal the sick and proclaim the gospel and so on. And then in the Gospel according to John, chapter 6, verse 66, many of his disciples turned back and left him and gave up the faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Apparently, after such a testimony, after that kind of an experience, the corruption and darkness prevailed in their mind and heart, and they have forsaken the Son of God to yield to the evil spirit. And the Lord turned to the 12 disciples and said, Are ye going to leave also? And Peter answered, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of everlasting life. So these two verses, verse 11 and verse 12 of the first chapter, Gospel according to John, were both fulfilled. He came to his own, and his own received him not, but as many as received him, to those gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. This verse number 12 contains so much of the gospel. As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. So when we believe the Lord Jesus Christ, when we believe his gospel, that's against our sinful nature. Who is the one that can give us the power to turn against our own nature, against our own logic, our own feelings, our own thinking? To them that believed. He gave the power to become the sons of God, the children of God, because they believed, because He gave them the faith. So when one can firmly, clearly believe the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, that person is receiving the power of the Lord through faith. And that faith and that power, actually the grace of God that has been outpoured upon a soul, that is the new birth. And that birth has nothing to do with the blood, at least nothing to do with the human blood, with our blood, with the blood of that person or the parents or anyone else. It has everything to do with the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. But here He's talking about the blood of the sinner. The new birth has nothing to do with the natural physical blood of his parents, or his own, of course, and has nothing to do with the flesh, the quality of flesh, the ability of flesh, the kind of flesh, or the social status of that body, that person. It has nothing to do with the will of man. Oh man, my salvation has nothing to do with my will. Oh, I wanted to get saved. I cried to the Lord. I asked, I begged for mercy. It still has nothing to do with my will. It is His will in the first place. And His will subdued my will so that I want what He wants. And I don't want what I want. And He accomplished that new birth. And they that received that new birth were born of God, became the children of God. I think this is a great mystery. And when we think that finally we understand it, we only have a tiny glimpse into the glorious and marvelous gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and His salvation. In the verse number 14 we read that the Word, the expression of the Father, the only begotten Son of God, was made flesh. He received flesh upon Himself. He limited His person to live in the flesh. He set aside the splendor of His glory, and He appeared among us as a man. But even so, limited to the flesh that is similar to ours, He dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father. This is the disciples. They were beholding His glory, and they could not understand it. They had some very, very weak perception of the majesty of this Son of God, God Himself, among themselves. The officers of the chief priests came to arrest the Lord Jesus Christ, and they listened to His speech just for a short time, or perhaps a longer time, I don't really know. But I think it gives me an impression that they listened for a while, and that they returned without performing the task, the assignment, the commandment of the leading priests. And the priests asked them, why didn't you arrest Him? Why didn't you bring Him? And they said, never did a man speak like this man. They were overwhelmed with the radiating authority and power of the Lord Jesus Christ, in spite of their animosity, in spite of being against Him. It's almost comparable to the experience of Saul the king. He sent a group of soldiers to arrest David when David was with the prophet Samuel. And the soldiers came close, and they were subject to the power of the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God landed on them, and they started prophesying. They were not able to do what the king Saul has commanded to them. He sent the second group of soldiers, and they did the same. And finally, Saul came himself. Oh, he's strong, he's powerful, he's the king, he's going now to do what he wants to do. No. No, the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and he prophesied. And his prophecy was demonstrative prophecy. He took off his clothes to show that he is naked before God, helpless. And John writes here, we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. I wonder, was it clear to them at that time, or looking backwards to those moments, John is confessing. We did behold that amazing grace and truth, but perhaps at that time unable to understand it. But then we listen to the testimony of John the Baptist in the verse number 15. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, "This was he of whom I spake, he that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me." John is acknowledging, "I am the creature, he is the creator." "And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace." It sounds to me like the abundance of God's grace appeared and was revealed and manifested in Christ Jesus, Jesus of Nazareth. And yet I need additional grace, grace for grace, to overcome my sinful resentment and resistance to His marvelous grace. And He gave me even that. And He gave me the power to become the child of the Almighty God, a child, one of many that He came to save. "For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ." In the law, we see God's holiness, we see God's commandments, and we see our insufficiency, our total inability to serve the Lord. But in the law, there was a lot of grace to offer a sacrifice for my sin and to be pronounced clean, to be labeled as clean, righteous, godly. That's an amazing grace. How did the people before the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ received that grace to be clean, to be free, to be forgiven, to be delivered from the consequences of their sin through the sacrifice? The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ was given to them as an advanced payment, a loan that the Lord Jesus Christ is going to earn to buy by His sacrifice on Golgotha, on the cross. So in the commandments, in the law, we see God's holiness and our insufficiency, our sinfulness. But in Christ Jesus, the Son of God, the only Savior, we see the truth. And that's the whole truth. Through Him, finally, we are able to see how sinful we are, how gracious the Father is, how wonderful and glorious is that Son that received upon Himself such a humility to become Redeemer of sinners, to receive our sin upon His shoulders, our sinfulness, our guilt, our wrong, and to redeem us by being our sacrifice, our atonement, our ransom. Beautiful, marvelous word, ransom for our sin. So by His grace and in His truth, we are the children of our Heavenly Father. And then after all this, the verse number 18 is presenting another part of that truth that is not easy to grasp, and I would say impossible to completely understand. "No man hath seen God at any time." But we read already long ago that Moses was talking to the Lord face to face, and the Lord was talking to Adam and to Eve in the Garden of Eden, that last moments of their life in the Garden of Eden. So all of this must have been the Lord Jesus Christ. But then, "No man hath seen God at any time." No one is able to see all of God, because God is limitless. God is greater than all the universe that He has created, and He's in His greatness passing the limits of unlimited. "No man has seen God at any time, but the only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father," which is so much one with the Father, inseparably one with the Father, "He has declared the Father." In John 14 verse 6 and on, the Lord is talking to the disciples, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. And from henceforth ye know him and have seen him." Philip said unto him, "Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us." We are not going to ask anything more or anything else Just show us the Father. And the Lord Jesus replied, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, Show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. The more we believe the Lord Jesus Christ, the more we focus on His glory and His greatness, His perfect work on our salvation. He is the truth, the way, the life. He is everything to us. And the more we realize that, the more we see the Father in the Son. And I believe that in the end we are going to see the Son in the Father. And if we can see it now, it's such a blessing. That means that the heaven is opening to us, and the glory of the Almighty God is descending upon our own soul.